From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The prairie band Potawatomi Nation originated in the Great Lakes region, but in the 1830s, the U.S. government illegally auctioned off more than 1,280 acres of land belonging to Chief Chauvenet in southern DeKalb County. Now, 170 years later, lawmakers are trying to right that wrong. The Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation Chauvenet Band Reservation Settlement Act of 2021, introduced by U.S. Senator Jerry Moran, a Republican of Kansas, would compensate Prairie Band $10 million for the U.S. government's illegal act of selling off the land. We're joined now by Prairie Band Chairman Joseph Rupnick, the fourth-generation great-grandson of Chief Chauvenet, whose land was stolen. Chairman Rupnick, thanks so much for joining us today on The 21st Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to share our story.
Well, I understand this has been a long time coming for you. Can you just talk about how the land was taken from your great-great-great, et cetera, grandfather in the 1800s?
There are two pieces of legislation that actually happened. The first one being the Treaty of Prairie du Chien, signed in 1829. And in that treaty, Congress carved out 1,280 acres for Chief Chauvenet and his band. Then in 1832, we signed the Treaty of Chicago. And in that treaty, we ceded over 5 million acres of land in what is currently Illinois. And in that treaty, they kept that 1,280 acres for Chauvenet. During that time, which, you know, we commonly refer to as the Indian removal period, where they were taking all tribes and forcibly removing them from those areas west of the Mississippi. And at that time, eventually we settled in what is currently Kansas. The money that we received from that land sale, when we ceded that 5 million acres, we purchased a reservation down here in Kansas, a 30 by 30 square mile reservation. Eventually, some of that land was taken from us too, but I guess that's a conversation for a day. Anyway, around about that time, Chauvenet, since the majority of the tribe had moved down to Kansas, he wanted to come down and visit the relatives down here. Of course, back then, it doesn't take you 7 hours as it does today to make that journey. And since it was on horseback or wagon, I imagine it was probably a week's journey one way, and was down here for a while visiting the relatives, making sure everybody was settled in. And then upon his return, when he got back to the land, he found out or discovered that the government told him that he had abandoned his land and that it was illegally sold by the department and by the state of Illinois. With that, you know, of course, there was no recourse for him, and he essentially had to leave that area and try and seek justice other ways. That never happened. And here we are today, 170 years later, still trying to seek that historic or justice for that historical wrong, to be able to reaffirm our jurisdiction over that land and correct the wrongs that have been done in the past.
I just want to pause on something you said a moment ago, which is 5 million acres. Did I hear that right?
Yes, 5 million acres.
Wow. That's, and just to give people a frame of reference, I did a little quick Googling here. That's about 7,812 square miles. The city of Chicago is 234 square miles. So that's much, much bigger than the city of Chicago. And yet today there are no federally recognized tribal lands in Illinois. Can you talk about the Prairie Band's connection to Illinois and to the land back then?
Well, I would probably disagree with that statement, because since 1832, that reservation has always been there. Congress is the only body that can terminate or remove a reservation or land from reservation status. They have never done that, which is why our claim is so important to that. We have been in that area continuously since that time, since first contact in the 1700s, and a majority of our traditions and customs are really attached to that land up there.
And just to be clear, I didn't mean any sort of slight or to suggest a weakening in your legal status. I guess I just mean in the way that when you travel out west, you know, there are definitely reservations where, you know, they're clearly tribes have, you know, well-established their own governance, et cetera. And there's none of that in Illinois, as I understand it today.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. I mean, once we were forcibly removed at gunpoint to Kansas, the ones that did remain behind were scattered, and there was no formal set of government in the state of Illinois. Yes, you're correct.
So what was the Prairie Band's connection to Illinois, to the land? What was life like for them here at that time?
Well, you know, of course, we were hunter-gatherers. You know, what a lot of people don't realize too, Prairie Band, we were kind of the Western band of the Potawatomi. We actually hunted buffalo in that area, fished, hunted deer. At that time, some of the old stories that I was told was that when we were living in that area, of course, it was all beautiful. There was nothing but trees growing all over the place. And you know, when we, it broke our hearts when we had to cede that area to move west. When we found this area in Kansas, of course, our scouts came down here and looked at it, and they said, well, you know, it pretty much has everything that we need, think we can survive here.
So it's been a long time coming. How did you get from then to where the band is today with a U.S. senator introducing this legislation that could potentially compensate the Prairie Band $10 million? For this illegal sale?
Well, part of this was, this has been a process that has been worked on for a number of years. You know, credit goes out to past tribal councils, especially in the last 30 years, that have really been pushing this issue in Congress. Probably one of the most significant milestones that we reached was back in 2000 and 2001, when the Solicitor General for the Department of Interior confirmed that we were, in fact, the true heirs to that land. And since that time, we have been working on ways to get the federal government to reaffirm our jurisdiction on that land and to make sure that compensation is good. Really, when we started going through this whole entire process, and since I've been elected, that was one of the first things that I had done, was I went back and looked at that Solicitor General's opinion. In that, it said that, you know, the only way that we could really correct this issue is to go back to Congress. I know the tribe has tried different avenues before, so we looked at it as a tribal council and said, let's go ahead on back with that old strategy. We introduced it to Senator Moran. We proposed the idea. Since he sits on the Indian Affairs Committee, it made sense for us to go that route there. But of course, Senator Moran would not have filed this bill on our behalf if Senator Durbin hadn't given him a nod to go ahead on and do so. Senator Durbin has not given us a good hard yes. We're hopeful that he will. And part of our work right now is to try and build up enough support so that we can show that the people up there do welcome us back and that we're able to move this legislation forward and get it on the floor for a vote.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce my guest. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Chairman Joseph Rupnik, who is chairman of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. He is a fourth generation great grandson of Chief Chabanet, whose land in the 1830s was in DeKalb County, 1,280 acres, and it was illegally auctioned off by the U.S. government at that time. There's been a long fight to get compensation for that, and there is presently a bill pending in the United States Senate filed by, as we just heard, Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran, Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat, is also involved or has been at least in conversations about this. And because our show is on tape, we taped this last week. We're not taking calls for this segment, but you can always let us know what you thought about our conversations at 21st Show on Twitter. That's at 21st Show. So, Chairman Rupnik, I wanted to ask if the act passes, as we mentioned earlier, it would compensate the Prairie Band $10 million for this illegal land sale. Is there a use in mind for that money?
Part of the compensation is to compensate us for the denied use of land. And we have to remember that we have been denied the use of that land for the past 170 years. We should explore every avenue that's available to us that is within federal law and state law, and look at all options available. Right now, we don't have a plan for the use of that $10 million, but keep in mind that that money is not going to be paid for by the state of Illinois or the residents. This is a debt owed from the federal government to the tribe for the denied use of that land for 170 years.
I wonder, though, if this settlement goes through, if the law goes through as is currently being compensated, is there a risk that it in some way further severs the relationship between the Prairie Band and Illinois? Or is there hope to sort of reestablish more of a presence here? I understand part of the legislation would involve relinquishing any claims on the land.
Currently, the way that it stands right now, those individuals, those residents that are within the current boundaries of the reservation, there are claims that the Prairie Band Potawatomi have. And in some of those titles, it may actually say all rights and claims to the title of the descendants of the Potawatomi chief named Chabanet and his band. And so what a lot of legal search would call that is clouded title, because those lands are now subject to the Prairie Band Potawatomi's concurrence. So if a person wanted to transfer land, will it to their kids or sell it, in reality, we should be taking a stand against that, because we should be given the right of first refusal for that. Under this current legislation, what we would do is we would relinquish that claim in order to give those people that peace of mind so that they could will that land down to their kids. They could go ahead on and sell it with the hopes that if they do sell it, that we would be offered the opportunity to buy it at market value. That's one of the concessions that we're willing to make to clear that title and give those folks that are living currently on the reservation that peace of mind.
We're coming to the end of our time. Do you hope that this settlement and this resolution of this 170-year-old wrong can in some way help connect the tribe to Illinois again?
We've been working up there for the past 30 years to really develop those relationships within the community. I mean, at one time when the lake, the man-made lake in Chabanet was flooded and it had a lot of debris, the tribe sent its own equipment and its own personnel to help those folks clear that area out. So we've been doing our part to be good neighbors up there, and we hope that we can continue that later on. Probably around the 1st of March, we're going to try and get with all the residents that are currently in there to explain what our bill is, how it benefits them, and to put their mind at ease and still maintain those good relationships that we've been trying to carry on for the past 30 years.
Joseph Rupnik is chairman of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. There is legislation pending in the United States Senate that would provide compensation for more than 1,200 acres of land that belong to Chairman Rupnik's great-great-great-great, et cetera, grandfather. It was stolen or auctioned off illegally by the United States government in the 1830s. Chairman Rupnik, thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show to talk about your story.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm glad to be here.
Coming up, a conversation with Central Illinois-based photography historian Kara Finnegan. Her recent book is Photographic Presidents, Making History from Daguerreotype to Digital. That conversation after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.